Let me pray. Father God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and help us to hear you, to be challenged and to be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're starting a series, and this is the first one where we're tackling emotions through the Psalms. And today's is about love. It came again and again and again and again in that reading. And we're going to look at it in more detail. Psychologists tell us there are four things that we desire in life. Okay. The first is life, to live. It's obvious and it's so true. You see it in a newborn baby who fights for life. And also in challenging situations where people grab hold of it and don't let go of it. Second one is to laugh. We all love to laugh. It makes us feel good. It reduces endorphins. And apparently it uses an awful lot less muscles than frowning. Third one is we need to love. We need to be loved and we need to love others. And the final one is to leave a legacy. That's leave a footprint in this world. Either through your achievements, your reputation, your children, or whatever. These are very, very hardwired into us, and we seek for it and we pursue them. And today we are considering the middle of these, the third one of these, which is love. Our psalm today is all about the way that God has shown love for and been faithful to the nation of Israel, and in turn us. It recounts the ways that God saved his people. It starts with creation and then shows how God brought his people out of slavery in Egypt and a Red Sea crossing and wandering in the wilderness and being attacked by other kings and giving them the promised land. According to tradition, Psalm 136 is known as the Great Hallel, which means praise. That's the Hebrew word, praise. That's where we get the word hallelujah from, which means praise Yahweh or praise God. Although the Hebrew word of hallelujah isn't in this psalm, we can see there is a praise element. And in fact, the way that Cheryl got us to read it is exactly how it would have been read in Passover and the big Jewish festivals. The cantor actually saying out the first part and everybody else responding. Probably not a bit like us, who were like, "And his love endures forever. How long is this going on for? 26 verses. Oh." It was probably a much more passionate sort of thing because actually they were trying to recount a history which their forefathers had lived through, and they would have remembered it. So let's have a look. That's the first couple of verses. So it's the first verses, verse 1, 2, and 3. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, his love endures forever. The beauty of this psalm is it gives a congregation the chance to praise God together in unison about God's faithfulness and to praise him. This refrain is so common in this, it becomes a bit of wallpaper in the end if we're not careful. His love endures forever. It's like, yeah, okay, we've said that before. Anything new? But actually, let's pause and think about it. It's telling us about the very character of God. We just heard about the fact that God is good, God is the God of gods, and God is the Lord of lords, which means he is the only God and he is in complete control. And this God, who is the only God, the creator God, and the God is in control, loves us. He loves us, and that love endures forever, an everlasting love. The word used for love here is the word hesed, which is not just merely an emotion or a feeling, but involves an action on behalf of somebody who needs it. Hesed describes a sense of love and loyalty that inspires merciful and compassionate love towards somebody, no matter what they've done. That's the love that is being promised here. That means this good, true, all-powerful God doesn't just give his people his love and take it away. No, it means that this God loves his people no matter what they do, whether they deserve it or not. He promises that he will love them with hesed love. And he shows that through the person of Jesus to us. We live in a culture which says love is highly conditional and quite fleeting. And actually, often by chance, programs like Love Island and Marriage at First Sight are snapshots of that, where you can think you're in love, but you can walk away from it if it doesn't quite fit the ideal thing that you're after. God's love is the polar opposite to that. It's a love which is a special covenant, which is an unbreakable promise. Question tonight is, do you want that kind of love? Do you need that kind of love? Perhaps you've experienced that kind of love in your life, or perhaps actually you haven't. Perhaps for you, love is something that you've found difficult to come by, and you've never quite had that form of love. Tonight, God is offering to each one of us this hesed love, this unconditional love, which endures forever. And this love has started from the beginning of time. Verse 4. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. And the moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. Let's think about that for the moment. We are loved by the creator of the universe, by the love that started the world with a word. He is the same yesterday when he created the world, today as we sit here and read this, and forever. God was there before us and created the world for us, so that we are to be loved by somebody, God, who this love endures forever. Lots of people know that their parents love them from the beginning. Some people don't know that. Some people don't know that their parents love them. But we all seek for this expression of love, whether it has positive or negative. And the love a parent gives a child is a small echo and picture of what this love looks like. We need to hear today that God's love for you endures forever. You are loved by the creator of the universe. And this love, he cared for his people so much that endured, that actually it sustained them through captivity and deliverance. Verse 10 says, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever, and bore the Israel out among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever, but swept Pharaoh and his armies into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. Egypt was one of the first world countries of this time, the dominant superpower. And God crushes them and delivers his people. That's how much he loved his people. But this was after about 400, 450 years of captivity under cruel slave labor. Do you think in those 400 years the Israelites ever despaired? Do you think they ever doubted God's love and where he was? Do you think they wondered if they'd ever be free? When we're captive to things, it's easy to despair. when we are in a hopeless situation or suffering from sickness that we can't shake, or an addiction which dogs our tracks, or bitterness so deep inside you that you can't let go of it? Do you doubt that God loves you? But God does not love you any less, just like he didn't love his people any less. Even if the captivity is your fault, he doesn't love you any less. He loves you. He poured out himself on the cross for us to take away that pain and to set us free. The cross is the sign of God's love. Just like it's a real temptation to believe that God's loved me less when I'm trapped in sin. We have this human view, don't we, that God possibly can't love me as much as he loves the next person because he doesn't really know what I do. And if he does know what I do, he can't possibly love me. However, that's not what it says here. This was completely unconditional. He brought them out of captivity. He fought for them. And he liberated them. His love endures both in captivity and then in freedom, which the next verses go on to look at it. But I just want to look at very briefly at verse 16, because it says in verse 16, to him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. God took the Israelites out of Egypt and they went to Sinai and they went all the way to the promised land, but because they didn't believe, they spent the next day wandering, the next 40 years wandering. They were literally there. And then they wandered for 40 years. Have you ever seen a missing persons post on social media on the news? When they put things up and say such and such is missing, please if you hear of them, please tell them to ring this individual. The families who put that up are not mad because their family members are lost, but because they love their family members and they want them to come home. God loved the Israelites, even in their wandering, even in the fact that they had royally mucked up and spent 40 years wandering. He still loved them, even when they wandered. He loves us when we wander, when we run away from our church families, or we get into relationships we shouldn't, or make other things more important than following God. His love endures. It never gives up. His love endures forever, even when we wander. He never gave up on the Israelites. And they wandered for 40 years. And it's shown because actually in those 40 years, when problems arose, he fought for them. Verse 17. To him who struck down the great kings, his love endures forever. And killed the mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sihon, of the king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance. His love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel. His love endures forever. As Israel wandered the wilderness, they encountered hostile kings and armies, and they were faced aggression. And God's love endured. When the Israelites sang this, it reminded them of God's love for them, how he had helped them defeat overwhelming odds of Sihon and Og. They're just examples. If you read the Exodus story, there are other armies which came against them as well. It reminds them of how God delivered them from adversity and danger. And it can remind us of that today. When you feel that you are surrounded by the Sihons and the Ogs of your life, who attack you and oppress you and make things difficult for you, there may not be people, there may be situations, They may be pressures. They may be individuals. We can trust in Jesus and say, his love endures forever. Because he freed the Israelites from this oppression. And he loves us so much that he wants to free us. This brings us to the last section. It almost brings us back as a full circle, back to the same God who made the heavens and the earth. Verse 23. He remembered us in our low estate. His love endured forever. He freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. Ever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. This final section recaps on and reinforces God's love for his people and for us. Because it says that we are loved no matter what we've done. We are loved no matter what we've done. We are loved when we are at our lowest. We are loved and it sets us free. And we are provided for because everything comes from God. We see this in these verses. He remembers in our low states. He frees us from difficulty. He provides for us. And what do we do in response? We give thanks to God. We give thanks to God because his love endures forever. All this points to the outworking of what God's love looks like for each one of us. The Israelites had this story to tell of Psalm 136, which was a story of their history. We can move the history on. Because this history is not our history. This is their history. Where our history goes is this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is now what his love enduring forever looks like. That is the outworking of this psalm. That is our history. Psalm 136 is the Jewish story. This is our story. That God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. No matter what we've done, no matter who we are, no matter whether we feel ashamed or betrayed or hopeless or just lost, God loves you because he loves you, because he loves you. And that love endures forever when we trust Christ. So for those of us for whom actually love has been difficult and hard in human terms, because we found it to be very fickle, or we found it to be changeable, or we found it to be conditional, then through Jesus we can find a love which is none of those things. That is not conditional, no matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you're going to do in the future. He loves you because he loves you because he loves you. And it endures forever. Will we trust and follow him and say, yes, God, I want that love. What is your response tonight to this psalm? What is your response to this challenge about God's love for us? Is this a love that you recognize? Or is this a love that is totally alien? If it's a love you recognize, and perhaps it's a love which you think, yeah, I used to love God like that, but life's become really hard, then we need to rediscover this. That he's there for us no matter what. And if we don't know this love, if we've never experienced this love, then we need to come to Jesus, who is the expression of love. that this psalm points to. And you will find love in all its fullness. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you that you are good all the time. And your love endures forever. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for each one of us. Thank you that we can see your love for us in that. Help us to seek for and find this expression of love, which is life-changing, eternity-altering, earth-shaking. And help us to hold on to it with both hands. Amen.